Blog Talk Radio.
Well, greetings and welcome to the Power of the Gospel of Power broadcast. I'm Bishop Jerome Jones, and I count it an honor and a privilege to be able to come into your homes and wherever you're right now, either hearing and watching this broadcast. We're going to be studying the book of Acts as we continue this series of studies, but we're excited about what God is doing all throughout the church, the body of Christ. And we want to invite you to call up a neighbor and call up a friend and tell them to tune in to the radio station, the internet broadcast, or give them the link to the social media network that you're now engaged with so that they can be blessed and that they can receive this word that God is bringing forth. Well, we're going to get right into the word. We trust that you have your Bibles, your paper and pencil, that you can take some notes with us, and let's just dive right into the study of God's Word, because it's the Word of God that gives us strength and power to live victoriously with the in the world today at the inspiration of God's anointing, the Spirit of the living God. So let's go into now the book of Acts as we study, continue this study of this dynamic book and God's Word. We're going to pick up right at the 8th verse of the first chapter. Jesus is here now giving some instructions to his disciples. Now, just to give you the backdrop, Jesus has come to the earth, has lived here better than 33 years, has handpicked disciples, and has trained them and really taught them the way. And now he is committing to them the purpose of God, the redemption plan of God. And he's given them a charge, and he's committing the ministry of Christ to them to carry the message throughout the entire world. And so he says to them in the 8th verse of the first chapter, he says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me," "unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Jesus is saying to the disciples that those men that he called and picked and trained and walked with, "You are going to be my witnesses both where you live, your neighboring cities, your neighboring will be our counties today, our states," and then he went on and said, "to the uttermost parts of the world." And remember, when he gave this great commission, he told him, says, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So I want us to look now, as they receive this word, we're going to continue to read verse 9 and thereafter. "And when he had spoken these things, behold, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." Now, let's go back just for a moment. They originally expected Jesus to restore the kingdom of Israel at that time. And Jesus let them know that's not the kingdom that he was a part of, or that he was here to restore, or that they were to be concerned with at the point, or to focus on, that the kingdom he was talking about was the kingdom of God. And it was far more powerful. than the kingdom that they was looking at in the natural here on earth. And so they learned this, because if we go back and look at the word, we'll see that they asked him about restoring the kingdom of Israel and restoring the kingdom to Israel. But notice what before they asked that question, Jesus was doing some instructions, and the instructions he was instructing them in was the kingdom of God. Now, listen at verse 3. It says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So Jesus thought it necessary to, even though he had been with them for 3 years plus and had lived with them and traveled with them and slept in the same quarters there and sat at the same table, he thought it necessary to really teach them things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And the reason, one reason that I can extract from that is because too often we as the members of the body of Christ are focused on materialism, materialistic things, and we measure success by what, how much we can gain in the material realm. Lord, if we would ever measure success by that, flip that over into spiritual realm, into godliness, into contentment, into peace, love, joy, I mean, we would be some spiritual army here on the planet representing the power that is in the gospel of Christ. But so Jesus said, look, my kingdom is not natural. My kingdom is not natural. So we need to understand what the kingdom is. In the last lesson, we talked about this, and so we're going to read it again in Romans chapter 14. So you can just flip over there in your Bible. I like for us to look at this word, because it's important that the word of God is the roadmap. The Spirit of God will lead all of his ministers on the pathway that's in the word of God. So we like to make sure that you are able to follow along with us, because we're going to see some exciting things, and they're going to challenge your position. They're going to, in your belief in every area of your belief, they're going to challenge your position in every area of your belief, and that's good news. So let's look at Romans 14 and 17. 14 and 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but it is righteousness, it's peace, and it is joy in the Holy Ghost. So the kingdom of God, my friend, is not natural things. You know, it's righteousness. That righteousness, as we know it, is in right standings with God. You see, if we're not in right standings with God, what else matters? That's how profound that is. Jesus said, to walk in the kingdom, you got to be in right standings with God. That's what the kingdom is. See, the kingdom is walking in right standings with God. Now, I want to talk about this because I need to really, I'm sensing, and I said this before, you know, God is an amazing God. You know, he's an amazing Father. And he instructs us, just as Jesus took time to instruct them, because he knew the temptation to get distracted, to detour. And so he says here, it's not meat or drink, but it is righteousness, it is peace, and it is joy in the Holy Ghost. Imagine what the body of Christ would look like if we were walking in righteousness, walking in peace, walking in joy. Just imagine at the leadership of the Holy Spirit, or in the Spirit. If we were walking this out, we would turn our cities, turn our communities upside down for the glory of God. And that's how radical the gospel of Christ is. So let's look a little bit further. Now let's go back to the book of Acts a minute. Let's go back here and pick up now at verse 10. Verse 10 says, and well, we read that verse, and we'll read it again. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Now, they were just amazed at what was happening. Now, you just got to picture this in your mind for a moment. They've been living with Christ, traveling with Christ, eating at the same table, sleeping in the same quarters, and now he has been crucified. He has been in the grave. He has been resurrected. He has come again to sit down at the table with them and to go to fellowship and instruct them in the things of the kingdom of God. And now it is time for him to sit, and he's ascending right before their eyes up into the heavens, and they're caught gazing at him. But he has already given them instructions. He has already given them their assignment. And now the reason I want to bring this point, many Christians are stuck, and they're not doing the work that God has given them to do. You see, you know, we can't just stand idly by smelling flowers. We are here to procure more sons unto the kingdom of God, unto the Father. We're here to be a representation of the love of Jesus that has been applied in us, and now through us can reach out and touch others' lives and lead them into the kingdom of God, out of darkness into the marvelous light. That's why we're here. Now, I want to turn something. I want to read that. I just the Holy Spirit just brought this to mind, so let's go there, because we made that commitment to let the Holy Spirit lead and follow him. So I just talked about we are here to turn people from darkness unto light, to lead them out of darkness into the light. Look what the Word of God declares as we look into the book of, further on into the book of Acts. We're just going to look at a reference here, because this is a reference as we talk about what ministry is to do. Notice in the 26th chapter, if you look at this with me, and we're just going to start reading at verse 16. It says, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared before thee in this purpose. This is the Lord talking to Paul, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. And what God is saying to him, Christ is saying to him, look, I appear to you to make you a witness. I want you to be my witness. And to make you a minister. Let me say something to you today. You are, if you're a child of God, an able minister of the gospel of Christ. And God says, I want to use you. I want to use your vessel and reach out and touch other lives with the love of Jesus and the power of the Christ through your life. So look what he says. What is that? What is the purpose for that? Let's read a little bit further in this reference verse, and we're now in verse 17 of chapter 26 of Acts. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. He says, I'm sending you to them, but I'm going to deliver you from them. And then he goes on to verse 18, to open their eyes. That's why I'm sending you, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, He said, you're the vessel. I need to use you. And I'm saying to you that are viewing with us right now, God still wants to use you to turn men and women from darkness unto light and from the power of Satan unto God. See, that's our call. That is our call. You may say to me, well, Bishop, that's your call. You know, God used you, and you've been doing this in preaching for years, and I'm just not that. I'm just not that preacher. I'm just not, I'm not even a minister. Let me beg the difference. You are indeed a minister if you're a child of God. And God is the one that does the ministering through us. So the ability has nothing to do with your natural ability. And that's the mistake that many people that are in the kingdom are making today. Because we believe that if we don't have the ability to do something in our natural equipping, then we believe that that's not something that we should be doing. Well, you know, Moses didn't believe he had the ability to do what God called him to do. So it has nothing to do with it. God is the one that gives us the ability, because he is the one, by his anointing, that does the ministering. All he needs is a yielded vessel. And so let's look a little bit further. He says, I want you to turn them from the power of Satan unto God. That's why we have a program called Bringing the World to Christ. That's why we are all about reconciling men back to God. That's our call. And it's also your call. Let's look at it again further. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So he said, that's why I appeared to you. That's why I reached out and purchased you. That's why you are still here. Child of God, the same holds true to you. Now, we're going to talk about how we can walk this out. So let's go back now and pick up in Acts chapter 1 as we continue here. And we're going to look at, we're going to look at verse 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is in Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into the upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. Now these are all of his disciples that he had chosen, and they are now back in Jerusalem, and they go up into the upper room. And look what it says in verse 14 as we continue to read now, because we're going to go through this verse by verse and just let the Holy Spirit just point out things that he wants to point out, because he knows just where every heart and mind is. Verse 14, and thereafter. These all continued, these all, the ones that we just read in verse 13, all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, and the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Now all of these were there with one accord. Now that's key. You know, if we're going to see the power of the Christ in the assembly and see the moving of God upon the lives of multitudes, we that are in Christ, that have been given the charge to minister, to govern, pastors, associate pastors, assistant pastors, our teachers and officers, praise and worship, we all have to be on one accord. Because when we are walking in unity, there's power. There's just absolutely no weapon that can stand against a unified body. We saw that in the book of Genesis, where the whole world was one language and they were in unity, one with another, all on the same accord, and they were building a tower that would reach all the way to heaven, and they didn't even have God with them. They did not have the indwelling of God in them. But they were building this tower. They wasn't even Christians. They wasn't even saints of God. But they were building this tower so much that God took notice of it and says, look, the people are one. The language is one. I need to go down there and confound their language, because otherwise, because they're in unity, they're going to build this tower, and they'll get right on into my living room. And so he went down and destroyed that or confounded the languages, and that meant they could not understand each other, and therefore they could not continue to build the tower. But the thing that we want you to see, these disciples and the women and the mother of Jesus, them was there with his brethren, and they were there with one accord. And verse 15 says, and in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120, men and women, men and brethren. This scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. Now, Peter is recalling to their remembrance the betrayal of Judas. And he said, this was spoken long ago, before Judas manifested in the flesh. This was spoken at the mouth of David. And so he's just going back, and he's recalling that to their memories. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now, I want to point something out. See how Judas was named with the apostles and had obtained part of the same ministry. And so he goes on to say, now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all of his bowels gushed out. That was the end result of Judas, because of the horrific feeling that he was experiencing after betraying the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go forward. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that the field is called in their proper tongue Alseldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let he never take. Judas lost his bishopric that day. Now, that's something that I want to pause right there. And I won't even attempt to go any further. So those of you that are viewing and listening, we got about 6 minutes left, and I'm just going to pause. That's going to be our stopping point right there, I believe. That's a stop sign for us, because I want to talk about how many of you perhaps are on the verge of losing that God has appointed unto you. Not because God wants you to lose it. Not because God is not still reaching and still wooing your heart and still saying, come. But how many of us have not committed ourselves to walk in the pathway that God has instructed? How many of us are going to lose? God has given you the charge of ministry, giving you gifts and giving you talents. But how many of us are going to hear that word saying, depart me, ye workers of iniquity, or what did you do with the talent I gave you? Did you bury it in the sand? Did you sit on it? Or did you go out and reproduce more? How many of us are on the verge right now? And some of you right now are so frustrated, and you've been trying to figure out why. Well, if you're not working out your salvation, see, the scriptures that work out your soul's salvation and trembling in fear. And if you're not doing that, that's one reason you could be experiencing the misery. You see, fulfillment for the child of God will never be found in other things. It will appear like it can be found in other things, but it will never be found in other things. When we that are naming the name of the Lord is fulfilled and experiencing the joy and the peace, it will come as a result of you and I walking in righteousness and fulfilling that God has called you and I to do. God is awesome, my friend. And I want to talk to you for the next 2 or 3 minutes about making a difference. Making a difference in the lives of people all around you. J.J. House of Reconciliation Ministries and Academic School is going to be host to a prayer event September the 19th. And it's going to be held right here in Fruitland Park at J.J. House of Reconciliation Ministries and Academic School. I want you that says, I want God to use me. I want to find that place. I want to have that zeal that I once had. I want to be revived. I want to be refreshed. I want you to sign up to spend the evening with us in this time as we host this prayer and fellowship right here. This is going to be a time where we come in and getting before God. Now, this is not going to be just a 10-minute session or 20-minute session or hour. We're going to go through the midnight hour, September the 19th. And I want to say to you, this is one day that can make a difference in your life. It's going to start at 12 o'clock noon and go right through 12 o'clock midnight. And I'm saying to you, wherever you are, if you want God to do the supernatural, you know you've been called of God. Many of you say, well, I've been told that. I've experienced that early on, many years ago. But you're stuck gazing. You're watching others, but you're not doing. God says, I want to use you. I want you to tell yourself something today. I want you to tell yourself, Seth, God still wants to use me. And it doesn't matter where you are, it is still true. God still wants to use you. So I want to invite you to communicate or connect or contact us. You can find my email on our page here. You can also simply text or call us at 352-255-0795. Now, we're going to be coming back to you, so if you're in the social network, follow us on Facebook and any other social media outlet that you will see us on. So we want you to experience the fullness of what God has purposed for your life. And that's where you'll find joy, peace, and fulfillment unlike any other, because nothing can fill the void in you like fulfilling the purpose of God can. God has held that exclusively for himself. Listen, I've enjoyed being with you today. We're just going to walk through this book and let the Holy Spirit speak to us, and I trust that God will speak to you long after this broadcast has concluded. So, as I've said, the listeners here and all over the world, you go with God, God will surely go with you. Have yourself a Jesus-filled day. God bless you. Till the next time.